relief's not the right word, but just positive feeling today compared to the last few where he actually...
You could throw that in. Like, you lose three games, and you lose three games at home, and you're in the, and it's pro sports, you're growly, right? You're uncomfortable. So, I don't know, I guess there's a piece to relief, but we did. We liked our Islander game. We liked parts of last night's game, too. Happy, I think, more the context of the game, right? We've kind of got a new back end there, and we got a shutout. Our goaler was real good, but they competed real hard, but they've been doing that every game, right? We haven't been getting positive results. Some ways we're not scoring a lot of 5-on-5 goals to take some pressure off those guys. But at the end of the day, it took us 5.5 months to get a Helia shutout last year, right? And that's the fact. That was with a pretty expensive blue line. So these guys are doing some good things. So he skated, and he was full contact skate. So that'll be more. We'll see how he's feeling tomorrow.
Paul, what do you know about Carl Dahlstrom now that you didn't know 3 weeks ago?
Well, just about everything, because I didn't know a whole lot about him, right? That's a quick turnaround. We're looking for a defenseman. The waiver wire comes up. We spend 5 or 6 hours watching a guy play hockey, and then we decide where we think he can fit. Didn't know that he was as bright a hockey mind that he was. And that's just through conversation with you have. He can detail the game very well. He's picked up the systems quite well. And he's a young pro. So he you don't have to get him to the rink early. You don't have to get him into the gym. He does all that on his own. He wants to be a hockey player.
Any concern with a guy that big that he might not move well enough?
No. We watched enough video to know how he moved, right? There are big men that aren't overly physical. 15, 20 years ago, that might have kept you out of the league. Now it's got no bearing. If you're big and you can move... You know, the last piece there is can you move the puck a little bit as well? He can do all those. So we like him. We got some, you know, we got some really good kind of background intel on him through different people that the coaches and the organization knew. So we had a pretty good idea about what he was like as a person before he got here, and it was positive.
So if people thought it was acquiring him was a stopgap, maybe it's a more permanent thing than...
That's up to Carl, right? So we felt that we would get him, that he could help us in the situation that we were in with Bo going down. And then whatever happens after this is completely up to him.
Paul, kept Neil out for practice today up on that first power play unit. What is it that you like about him, or has it changed the
hands? It's just the hands, right? So the power play works off one side of the ice. It's Wheeler's side of the ice. When you have a one-time option up top, that's a different threat for that killer. So the strong side forward on that side of the ice has to change his route to take away that pass, or it's a one-timer. And when you change that route, it opens up 55 in the slot. It's just that simple.
How much has the team defense coming together been about just aware, because when there's no experience, I assume you need more awareness. Does that make sense? I
mean, well, yeah, right. Yes, comfort. And so we run a neutral zone that takes some learning. And the goal that we gave up on the Rangers that went right up the pipe, we've given up that opportunity one more time where it's just our defense made a... The first one was really more our forwards caused our defense to make a tough read. This one was, the next one was more our defense didn't puck up the read. But other than that, now we're much better in that neutral zone. We had three like perfect ones last night where we were able to ride their centerman and stack the line, force the dump puck. So everybody's neutral zone defense has holes. When ours is right, they got to dump the puck an awful lot. They don't get clean entries on us. We've been more right than wrong this year, really, than last year. So we like where we're at.
There's a couple times last night, just watching the game again, where it seems like Ville will get beat physically, but mentally he won't get beat, and he'll be able to somehow work himself back into play where he's able to use his stick.
Yeah, or fall down and trip two guys. Sure. Whatever you got to do to get it done, right? There's a truth to that, and we saw that in the first 3 or 4 days of training camp, because he was getting into those one-on-ones, and then he just started to learn a little bit. playing defense, and I guess it's probably true of goaltending, but playing defense so much is about experience. Certainly used to be. Maybe raw talent's coming into the game because of the way some of these kids skate, but how many times you see something over and over again. But the other piece is the individual, because playing Connor McDavid, so I'm going to use extremes, right? Playing Connor McDavid, and we'll use all good players, and then Johnny Gaudreau and maybe Stamkos, they're just so completely different that you just need some reps against those kind of players, because you, Patrick Kane is a different kind of problem for you. And you, none of these guys have seen those kind of players, the best of the best. Put Blake Wheeler in there. They're just all so different. You just need some time to play against them. And you need to be a guy that when you're sitting on the bench, you're also watching that. Some guys are watching the Jumbotron, right? Philly's into the game. So he learns experientially, and he also learns from the bench.
And one last one. How difficult is he making your life when it comes to this whole nine-game thing?
It's the nice part of not being in management.
Sure.
Right? You don't...
Do you have input?
Yeah, I do. And I it's not an easy answer, right, to look in the... Because there's a lot, the heavy games are still ahead of us in a lot of ways. The heavy schedule is still ahead of us. I think we're feeling pretty good right now. I mean, about the player, like that pairing that's playing together came off the one trade, and we're sitting there going, hey, we got two real good defensemen here, and one's just 18 years old. We got to take care of him, but we're in the capitalist environment here in pro sports, and we got to win hockey games. So right now he's in that mix of helping us win games. There's the challenge.
A two-part question. Who's the coach or coaches who influenced you the most before you won your first game in Hartford and went to Burger King?
I think I can remember every person that coached me from the time, you know, my dad and Wayne Lee when I was about 6 years old. And I got a lucky run of coaches. Not everybody gets that. I mean, I straight through to Don Carrillo and Mike Zook Sr., who would have... He's the amateur coach, possibly. Ray Haynes. I mean, they're just some really, really good coaches in Sault Ste. Marie. And then Mike Zook Sr., the late Mike Zook Sr. We had a real good... I played house league midget hockey. We had nine guys drafted off what would become that midget team. So I had him in Bantam. Had no interest in going to the games, really, but the practices were awesome. They were fun. He had a rink, outdoor rink, that the kids from all over the western part of the city would go and skate on. He loved coming to the rink, and he had fun. So that was my first... And it's so much respect for him where you kind of think that's a really cool job. But Tom Webster would be the guy. He was my junior coach, who I eventually hired as an assistant coach in the NHL. He would absolutely be the man that influenced me the most. Really, really intense guy, but a big family guy and a very emotional guy. You know, systems, that was kind of like the first time I'd ever heard the word, you know, systems. Like, hey, we have a plan here, right? And that, you know, he had went on to coach the New York Rangers, to coach the LA Kings. So I got the two really important things, you know. Yep, that's not fair. Most important thing is I got lucky. My parents are unbelievable people. They're both teachers. So you get into that kind of life, you're taught to think that way. Then I got on this incredible run of coaches in minor hockey in Sault Ste. Marie, really good men. They barked at the right time. They knew what they were doing, right? And they were passionate about it. So I was really well coached growing up. And then I got under a really great umbrella of management from that, from junior on. So Jim Rutherford drafts me when I'm 17 years old. And that's 1984. Fires me in 2003. So that's a pretty darn good run in hockey. And then hires me back again, right? I spent 6 years here working for Kevin. Like, both the guys that I work long-term are Stanley Cup champions. So I've been lucky. I've just been really damn lucky.
And then the second part of my question is the after, since you became an NHL coach, who are the coaches or the coach who's influenced you?
So I'm not going to answer that as well as I should. But the first thing is, I was the assistant. I was a coach and then coach and GM in Detroit when Scotty Bowman was coaching the Detroit Red Wings out of the same building, right? So you get to watch him practice. And their practice rink was our kind of main rink for a while. So I, you know, stole an awful lot there. And then I would say, I'm going to have to say it was still Tom in a lot of ways. But when I came into the league, I was so young and had absolutely no idea what was going on, that I watched an awful lot of video. I think the truth is I stole from everybody, and I'm still doing it, right? Like, I still do a Bex practices exercise over the course of the summer. And that would easily be the part of the game that I enjoy the most, is how much the game has changed and then how much I've changed from the start, not even, like, over 2 years ago. So in the last 4 years, I would say I've changed my approach without losing sight of principles, but changed the way we do things drastically 2 to 3 times. This year is another one with the changes we've made. So that comes from ripping people off. I'm a kleptomaniac as a coach, right? Absolutely steal everything I can.
How have you been able to manage that balance between sticking to your core beliefs but adapting to the way the game has changed over those years?
I mean, at the end of the day, I believe that people are people, so you try to treat... I don't think that's changed a whole lot. I think as I've gotten older, I'm more comfortable having a deeper relationship with a player. When you're 28, you're just growly all the time because you want everybody to take you seriously. Now you can laugh with a guy, you can tell a joke, and then be firm with them if you needed to. And maybe deep down inside, I remember, I'm trying to tell you too many stories because it's not that big a deal. 700 games, I didn't win 12 cups, so it's not that big a deal. But I lost my eye. My eyesight when I was 17, and God, you know, you don't realize how smart your dad is till like 30 years later. But you know, he said, if you don't learn how to change, so I knew my career, if you don't learn how to change, you're not going to survive. You have to learn how to change. And what are you talking about, right? And then that's pretty much the way I've coached, right? You're looking for something new without losing your principles. You've got to stay on the next movement. So I enjoy that part of it, right? What's next?
And I know you touched on it before, but can you just talk a little bit more about your experience in the KHL and what that meant in terms of evolution and trying to reinvent yourself and those sorts of things?
So you know what I mean? I was an NHL head coach. I'd coached 2 years in major junior and 1 year in the American League, and the rest of my experience is all NHL, which is great, except it can be limiting. There's less creativity at times in the NHL than in any other league. I really felt that in the American Hockey League. You know, we'd go in and play in Manchester, and Bruce Boudreau was there, and we'd go into Philadelphia, and John Stevens were there, and they were doing something completely different than anybody else. And your video was way off, right? There was nothing consistent in the league at the time, which was guys trying stuff, right? You'd practice 3-4 days, nobody had video on you, so there'd be completely different face-off plays. In the National Hockey League, it's people do variations of the same thing. Your strengths and weaknesses a lot of times are really based on the players. I looked at the KHL as a chance to see something completely different than I hadn't seen before, and it was. So I left with a couple things. One, I love coaching, right? Like I the feeling of standing behind the bench here for the Arizona game, it might have been Phoenix at the time, but whatever they were calling themselves, that first game, and they're playing the national anthem, like I dreamt about it the entire time I was in the KHL, right? You get an appreciation for this league. Also, communication with players. When you can't talk to a guy, you realize you need to communicate with your players more. You need to have more conversations with them. Far better respect for what a European player goes through when he comes here, because when a North American coach goes there, it's not easy. Maybe a little bit. When I made some mistakes over there as a coach, you know, I knew they were hiring me as to be a North American guy, so I was full-on North American, and I probably wasn't open enough to some of the KHL Russian-style things that are really good. I probably could have embraced those more. So maybe it just made me open my eyes a little bit to what's going on around.